Let's go to the movies with the one, the only, Perry Seibert from the Michigan Movie Critics Guild. He's on the air each week on the Lucy Ann Land Show, 1290 WLBY. Perry, the movie today is Blue Moon.
Yes, the new film from Richard Linklater, one of the finest living American directors. And this is an interesting one-night biopic of Lorenz Hart, the songwriter.
We write together for a quarter of a century, and the first show he writes with someone else is gonna be the biggest hit he ever had. Am I bitter,
Larry?
Yes.
For over 20 years, Hart and his partner Richard Rodgers created a string of hits.
I want 10 copies of that.
Write me a check.
Such as My Funny Valentine, The Lady is a Tramp, and Blue Moon.
Your work is brilliant. That's not the problem.
No, I'm not drinking with you, Larry.
They should put my picture on that bottle. The whiskey that made Lorenz Hart unemployable.
I think we should be dreaming about new Rodgers and Hart, something people haven't seen before, something big.
We have to work like professionals, Larry. It's a business. That's all.
Well, the breakup of that duo, creating the most iconic duo. I did not know there was a Rodgers and Hart before a Rodgers and Hammerstein.
Absolutely. One of the most important songwriting combos in the history of American music. Certainly the early half of the 20th century, yes. Including, among other classics, Blue Moon, a song everybody knows. And this movie is about figuring out what is at the heart of a man who could write the lyric, Blue Moon, you saw me standing alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. This is a lonely, lonely person who is full of creativity and has an appreciation for beauty in all its forms. And that's really all the film is. Ethan Hawke, a longtime Linklater collaborator, is here as Lorenz Hart, shaving into an awful hairline, which I appreciated so much. Linklater just strips away all of his vanity for this movie, which I really enjoyed seeing. And it is the movie takes place over the course of the night Oklahoma opens.
I had to look up what Lorenz looked like, and he looks exactly how Ethan Hawke portrays him with that hairline and everything.
Yes, Lorenz was not a healthy man by this point in his life, and it looks it throughout the movie. This feels like an adaptation of a play. It is not. It's an original screenplay that's actually taken from – it's an adaptation of the letters that were written between Lorenz Hart and the character played by Margaret Qualley in the movie, the young woman.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, that's
that was the basis on which he built this script. And understand, like we've talked about with lots of films like this, this is not fact. This did not necessarily happen like this. This is all to get at the heart of Hart. I didn't even mean to do that. And so what you have is a very talky film set mostly in one – it's all in one set with one glaring exception. All in one's location. It's at the bar after the premiere of Oklahoma. And you get to find out all about this incredibly interesting person during all of this, who is Lorenz Hart, who is, yes, a damaged man, sad beyond compare, a drunk who cannot help himself at this point, but still utterly touched by beauty and seeks beauty and the old-fashioned idea that there is truth in beauty, and at the same time feels utterly rejected by his longtime partner and sees his fame and fortune slipping away and at the same time can banter with everyone from the fantastic bartender played by Bobby Cannavale in this movie.
Yeah, he's good.
He's wonderful. He's always wonderful. With another character who you see in the background for the first 30 minutes of the film before you finally introduce and find out, oh, that's E.B. White, the beloved writer, the writer of Art of Style. And, you know, they have these wonderful discussions about finding – about this one-upsmanship of finding the perfect word for a moment, or the difficulty in finding it, and the beauty in finding it. It's not a competition. It is they each want to find this. And so he's got other people – like-minded as him, who aren't as messed up as he is sitting in this bar. Look, this is the kind of movie that will play for you beautifully if you love this period and know these songs. The movies is scored with these songs, usually just being played on piano. There's another character who's a young man who's in the military at the time. He's on leave for the moment. He's just playing piano at the bar. And so if you have an ear and know these songs, you can pick these songs out. it'll mean a whole lot. They are specifically chosen for different points in the movie.
Perry, I love all of this music. I just didn't realize this was a partnership of these two guys, and that then Rogers had to leave it. If I understand this correctly, that he left because Lorenz was a drunk, and he just couldn't deal with collaborating with him anymore?
Yes, the movie plays that out pretty much. Rogers, you know, really wanted to, his career was what mattered. I mean, he wanted to do really good work, but he was a preeminent composer of songs for this time. And so partnered with Oscar Hammerstein, who has a grand reputation as a lyricist already in Broadway. And they team up to write Oklahoma. And throughout, there is, as you will learn, you know, this was not the end. This was not the last. There was more work to come from Rogers and Hart, okay, as you will learn from this movie.
You mean even though Rogers had moved on to Hammerstein?
Yes, they still, I mean, they'd had a partnership for 30 years. It was a very close, complicated relationship. Yeah. He wasn't, you know, it wasn't, I can't work with you anymore. It was, I can't work with you like this, and I'm going to continue to work. And that leads to a lot of the tension between them that they talk about and fight about over the course of the evening. At the same time, you know, and they're having this fight at the same time while Rogers is getting the greatest reviews of his career because everyone loves Oklahoma. that's all really interesting. And all of that is to say, that is part of the story. That's not the full story. You have this wonderful, there's nothing else to call it but a love story. That's not to say it's a happy or sad one, but the movie's called Blue Moon. I think you can tell it's not a fully happy one. Lorenz Hart's relationship with Elizabeth Weiland, who is the real life person who, like I said, the letters between them form the basis of this script, played by Margaret Qualley. It's a really great relationship. You wonder why they're attracted to each other for a variety of reasons. And you learn over the course of that. You learn by listening to them and watching them react to each other. And you can tell that Lorenz Hart has set himself up for disappointment yet again, as he's going to throughout. That seems to be his lot in life, at least this Lorenz Hart in this movie. Lucien, I loved this.
You did.
I'm not saying everyone will. I can't tell you this is a perfect movie by any means, but I tell you, I really enjoyed this. It's a movie, like we talked about, you know, sometimes movies come across at the right time of the year. I've been waiting for a movie like this. I've been waiting for a movie with just a really good script. we haven't had a really good script in a while this year.
Barry,
actor's script.
You're partial to character studies, which this is.
I am.
You love that. So you made the statement to me before we went on that this was more of a character study than it is a story. And so you get to see how people play out, that kind of angst, right? Isn't that what that means?
Yes. Yes, you get to see that. And you get to see – and what it gets at is a bigger idea of, okay, well, how hard is it to be a really talented artist? If you feel that much and can express, you have the talent to find the way to express those feelings that you feel so deeply, well, you get to see this guy feel this and how hard it is to feel that, because it'd be hard for any of us to feel that. It's not, you know, exceptionally hard for him. Life is hard.
Yeah.
And the person who can write Blue Moon is someone who is in touch with a loneliness that not a lot of us get to, and yet has the presence of mind to find the way to express that with real beauty and to team with people who can help him do that. That's fascinating. I want to know about the person who can do that. And as someone who is a real artist like Linklater is, who has never thought about first and foremost, how can this make the most money? You know, I can see what drove him to do this. And it's very much of a piece with a film he did, over a decade ago at this point, called Me and Orson Welles, another really great film about a famous person captured at a specific moment in their lives, although that film is more about the people around Orson than about Orson himself. That's a really good movie. That is a movie I recommend to anybody, by the way. If you've never seen Me and Orson Welles, that's an absolute charmer of a movie. The first great Zac Efron film. He's the lead in that movie. This has got wonderful music, wonderful dialogue. It's very talky. Like I said, it feels like a play, although it's not. But it's heavily written like that. There's a lot of talk. It is not a cinematic movie. It is not revealing itself through interesting camera movement and edits. That's not to say it's boring to look at. Linklater doesn't make boring movies. He knows how to keep things interesting to look at. But this is about watching people and watching them react and trying, and it makes you understand and associate with and feel close to everybody in it. There's no bad guy here. This is full of complicated people and a complicated person who you care about, and you can see how frustrating they would be to deal with all the time. I really enjoyed it a lot, Lucien.
It's interesting. This takes place in 1943. I think that was the time he died.
March 31st, I believe, is the actual date the movie takes place in, because of the night that Oklahoma opens. It is close to that. I don't wish to say more.
Okay.
Feels unfair to the movie. But yes, it is. He doesn't die that night. I will say that much. But
and this all takes place that night, though.
Yes, the entire movie takes place over the course of one night, as Linklater is fond of doing. This is a film that takes place over the course of one night. Almost, I'd have to watch it again to be sure, maybe even almost in real time. I don't think so. I think there's a few more hours that are unaccounted for, but boy, it certainly feels like it. I can't think of a scene that Ethan Hawke is not at the center of. And I don't know how they would cut away from him for any length of time and do what they're trying to do here. But it doesn't really matter.
I wouldn't have thought of Ethan Hawke in this role, but he looks terrific.
So I've said for years that that Ethan Hawke was an absolutely terrible actor unless Richard Linklater directed him. And I don't know what power he has, what spell he holds, whether Ethan Hawke is just smart enough to realize I can just trust him and he'll steer me correct. I don't have that feeling about Ethan anymore. He's done some very, very good work in the last 10 years on screen. And so I'm not that cruel about him anymore. But I still think he needs Richard Linklater a lot more than Richard Linklater needs him. My only thought in the movie was, boy, I wish he and Andrew Scott, the wonderful Andrew Scott, the British actor Andrew Scott, who most people still probably know as Moriarty in the most recent Sherlock series with Benedict Cumberbatch. He's the hot priest in the second season of Fleabag. He's a wonderful actor. I almost wanted to see them switch parts. I really, really wanted to see the other actor in that part. But that's because I really like him and wanted to see him do it. Not because I thought that Ethan Hawke was doing a bad job with it whatsoever. He's not. He's very good here. And playing very much against his own type. I love the interviews Linklater's been giving about how I had to strip him away of all of his fallbacks to his weird masculine thing that he'll do. I'm like, no, that's not here. I'm not going to let you get away with that this time. And it really does drive him to someplace very different. There's a last conversation between he and Margaret Qualley's character in the movie that is absolutely heartbreaking. And it's beautifully played by Ethan Hawke. He's not screaming for your sympathy, but he's so hurt, and you feel the hurt, and yet he still plays it so that he's not letting this other person know how hurt he is.
Do the words in the movie sort of mirror the words that they crafted so well in the songs they did?
Yes and no. You gotta remember the songs are, and this is something you think about, the songs are, you know, Get to Stand Alone. This is conversation. It's dialogue, so it's a little more than that. But, you know, no, it is not trying to be as poetic as all that, but it is trying to capture feeling. It is capturing emotion in really wonderful ways. In all of them, this movie's really funny, too. You know, he's an incredibly sharp wit, as everybody is in this scene, as we want everybody to be in a movie set in 1940s Broadway, right?
Right.
We want people with silver tongues, and they all are, and they're all actors capable of doing that and making it seem utterly natural. It's like I said, I enjoyed this tremendously. I'm so excited. He's got two films coming out at the end of this year. Steven Soderbergh had two films early this year, who were two of the best things still I've seen all year, were those two Soderbergh films from early in the year. I'm even more excited for the other Linklater, which we should be talking about in a couple of weeks, Nouvelle Vague, which is all about the French New Wave. But for the time being, boy, this is a winner, Lucien, and it's still in theaters. Check it out this weekend. Please.
It's called Blue Moon, and it's being billed as a biographical comedy drama film.
They're avoiding the word biopic, rightfully so, because it is this snapshot. It's not a cradle to grave experience by any means, but boy, I don't know if you'll know the real Lorenz Hart, but you will know what it's like to be someone with that much talent and that much pain.
All right. Well, check it out at the movies now. Perry Seibert with the Michigan Movie Critics Guild on the air each week here on the Lucy Ann Land Show. And today's review, Blue Moon, out now. You're listening to 1290 WLBY.